Well, warm welcome along to The Assist, sponsored by Free Super Tips. And after the international break, we're back. It's me, Warren Ashurst, alongside Mark Langdon and Dan Childs once again. But before we preview this weekend's matches, just worth reminding you that we'll be back on Monday for a Champions League special, as European football, of course, kicks in next week. But for now, we're going to concentrate on the Premier League and the EFL, and we'll start off with the North London derby, Sunday's big clash, of course, in the top flight. So Tottenham against Arsenal, 2 o'clock on Sunday. In terms of the prices for the North London derby, well, Spurs are around about 2-1. It's 5-2 the draw and 13-10 Arsenal. Been an interesting week for Arsenal. Mark, Mikel Arteta's agreed a new contract, but they've been hit by injuries and suspensions at a bad time coming into the derby.
Yeah, absolutely, Warren. You know, the Odegaard injury for Norway, I think it is a really key blow for Arsenal, not only because Declan Rice is suspended for this game and Marino, the new signing, is out, but you look at what's coming up for them. You know, obviously, not an ideal sort of first game back after the international break with those players missing, the short trip to North London. They've got Atalanta in the Champions League on Thursday, Man City in the Premier League next weekend as well. You know, this is three difficult away games in a row for Mikel Arteta. Now, they're not going to be playing, absolute nobodies in midfield, but there is a drop off from Partey and Jorginho from Rice and Odegaard. Yeah. And I do think that Odegaard is the player that really links that defence and attack, and it is the one that gets Arsenal playing. Rice is the one that brings the energy, and those that are coming in just aren't of the same standard. So that's a big problem for Mikel Arteta. Although, as you say, really good news for Arsenal sort of longer term that he has signed a new contract, because he's clearly making a big difference at the Emirates in recent seasons, you know, from when he took over to where they are now. They're no longer that soft touch. They've won their last couple of games, haven't they, as well, at Tottenham, which used to be a bit of a bogey ground for them. So good news in one regard, but I mean, short term, you know, how they replace Odegaard is not an easy solution to find the answers to.
Do you agree it's a big blow, Dan, to have, both Rice and Odegaard missing out that midfield? It looks huge.
Yeah, it's a big blow. I mean, you're thinking sort of, the players that Spurs would most want, to be out for Arsenal, and, probably those two, along with Saka, would be the three, really. Odegaard's just the ace assister, isn't he? Declan Rice, in this type of game as well. He's a leader, breaks up the play. So it's two big losses. I'm not entirely sure whether Spurs are going to, have what it takes to take advantage of it, though. The start of the season for Spurs, very similar to the end of last season, where they're dominating a lot of games and giving away cheap goals, really. The Leicester game dominated the game, gave away a poor goal, could have ended up losing it. The Newcastle game absolutely dominated for long periods, looked like the only side that's going to go on and win the game second half, and then defended on the halfway line and just a straight ball through the middle, and they concede and lose the game. So that's been my worry for Spurs. I just wonder whether, the game last year, the 3-2 to Arsenal, it was a kind of a bonkers game. Spurs sort of, really going for it and getting punished with 3-0 down at half time. I just wonder whether both sides might pay each other a little bit more respect than usual. Spurs, Postecoglou's under a little bit of early pressure here. I don't think, he can really afford at the moment to lose, and certainly lose this game badly. And Arsenal, with the key players that are out for them as well, I don't think they'd be too disappointed with a draw. So that's where I'm kind of heading here. I just think that, maybe it won't be as frantic and end-to-end as the recent North London derbies have been. So I'm going to go with, I think a draw may be a little bit overpriced.
OK, well, Dan's alluded to it there, Mark, in terms of Postecoglou. Is it fair to say that the pressure is ramping up on him? I mean, we saw towards the end of last season, there was a section of Tottenham fans who weren't overly enamoured with how things were going. How do you sort of assess it at the moment?
Well, I think there's my own personal opinion that I wouldn't be too critical. They've signed a lot of young players. This is early on in the season. They could easily have had 9 points from three games. They've only got four. They've been missing players. Van de Ven wasn't available at Newcastle. Richarlison barely been fit all season. Solanke spent a lot of money on him. He's missed the last couple of games as well. So, I personally am not in that camp where, you know, I'm sort of even on the fence as to kind of Postecoglou's long-term future. But I would say that that there is a fan base that is ready to turn, and there's nothing like a kind of North London derby to really heighten emotions one way or the other. You know, if things go well on Sunday, you know, it'll be everything's fine again. If they were to lose the game, those that are not sure about Postecoglou, I think, can quickly change their mind and go for the he's been found out, and the way that he wants to play is just not sustainable for the long term. They are conceding kind of the same goal over and over again, and that's probably the biggest concern with Saka on one wing, Trossard, Martinelli, maybe even new signing Raheem Sterling on the other one. You know, Tottenham do give up a lot of space to run in behind from those wide areas.
Before we get your best bets, Dan, are you in the same camp as Mark? Are you willing to give Big Ange a bit more time yet?
Yeah, very similar, actually. Personally, I mean, you know, you haven't got to think too far back to the, you know, the Mourinho and Conte being in charge, and the football was just, you know, really hard to watch. The football is so much better to watch now. Creating a lot more chances, scoring a lot more goals. So, absolutely. And there's been some very good young players signed. So, I would be very much in the, you know, give him some more time. But, you know, the context of this game, I think he'll know himself as well that, you know, that there are going to be sections that are, you know, prepared maybe to turn. And I just wonder if that may filter in, as I say, into the tactical approach here. I know he's very, very dogmatic and likes to, you know, go this, play the same way and press and take those risks. I just wonder whether they'll be a little bit more conservative, and that feeds into my tip for the draw.
So Dan's going with the draw. What's your best bet here then, Mark, for the big North London derby?
Yeah, my absolutely the same bet in terms of the draw. You know, I can see Arsenal. The problem Arsenal are going to have is that with those midfielders out, I think Havertz, who has been really successful since he's gone and played up front, he might have to drop into midfield. And then I think that they might lose something up front. And I don't think Arteta would be disappointed if he comes out of this game with a draw. Arsenal are on the drift, and I think that's probably a fair reflection of kind of their situation going to Tottenham. As far as Spurs are concerned, until you know that one of those forwards is fit, Richarlison or Solanke, I mean, it's difficult to put too much faith in them having that person that can finish off the chances that have been missed so far this season.
OK, that's Dan and Mark's thoughts then on the big one this weekend. Just to remind you, it's a 2 p.m. kickoff on Sunday for Tottenham against Arsenal. Time now for the rest of the Premier League, and we'll start off with the lunchtime kickoff on Saturday. It's at St Mary's, where Southampton take on Manchester United. 7-2 the Saints to pick up a first win of the season. It's 3-1 the draw, 8-11 Manchester United, who will still be stinging, I imagine, Mark, after that defeat to Liverpool before the break.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there was a comment in the on YouTube saying what a terrible tip it was that both me and Dan went against Liverpool in that game. The comment did come after the match had finished, you know, it was much easier to predict that 3. It was much easier to predict the 3-0 at full time. But I think that United, I didn't think, played that badly first 20-25 minutes. It was a fairly even game. Casemiro makes a terrible mistake. Liverpool punished them, and, you know, then the game got away from United. But there's a world of difference between playing Southampton and Liverpool. Southampton in both boxes, I think, are really poor. They've got a lot of sort of technically gifted players, but their fans step up really difficult. You know, against Nottingham Forest, it was 8-1 on target. They lost that shot count, and then they gave up 7 shots on target to a team in Brentford that didn't have Ivan Toney. I'm going for a Man United win. I think this is a serious step down in grade.
Can you make any case for Southampton here, Dan?
No, I'm going to go with the same tip, Man United to win. I mean, that came against Liverpool. They started quite well, United, but it could have got really ugly at one point, couldn't it? I mean, after the third goal went in, it could have been 5, couldn't it, just a few minutes after that. But and, you know, I think there would have been all sorts of questions, you know, raised about Erik ten Hag. I mean, those are still going to, going to come about in the future unless their form picks up. But I think this is a good chance for them to bounce straight back. Southampton are second highest for average possession at the moment in the league, but they've got the fewest goals, and that really sums them up at the moment there. As Mark's mentioned, they're not very good in both boxes. Man United have got, you know, certainly more quality offensively and at the back, so I would fancy them to get the points.
The first of the 3 o'clock kickoffs on Saturday is at the Amex Stadium, Brighton against Ipswich. Brighton around 19-50 to win the game, 4-1 the draw, 13-2 Ipswich to claim the points here. I saw Brighton against Arsenal before the break, Mark, and I didn't think they got the credit they probably deserved. A lot of it, obviously, was surrounding Declan Rice's red card. I thought they played some really good football, though, in that game.
Yeah, they did. Obviously, the red card did have an impact on the game, but like, there's been no drop-off, has there, really, from like when they were playing well under De Zerbi to kind of what they're doing now. I think they'll win this game. I'm going for Brighton to win an under 3.5 goals as the best bet. Scoring goals, I still think, is the biggest sort of concern I would have about Brighton. They've managed to score free Everton, but they were playing against 10 men for a little while in that game. Played against 10 men against Arsenal as well. So I think Ipswich will be competitive enough. And they only lost 2-0, didn't they, against Liverpool. But Brighton should have enough to win the game.
Dan, are you also going with Brighton here?
The match result prices for me, I mean, they're about 4-11. Brighton, to me, that's short enough. They have played against, 10 men for, decent parts of two of their matches. They've looked good. You can only beat what's in front of you. And 7 points, considering they've already played Man United and Arsenal, is an excellent return. But Ipswich have been starting their games well, haven't they? They had a good first half against Liverpool, scored the first goal at Manchester City, scored the first goal against Fulham, got that point, got off the, first point on the board. And I think they've got a good chance, Ipswich, of staying up this season. I don't think they'll be negative here. I think they'll have a real good go. And look, Brighton do play quite a high line. Ipswich will look to perhaps exploit that. Got Sammy Smodics, who makes very good runs in behind, as we saw in the Manchester City game. So it wouldn't surprise me if Ipswich, maybe scored the first goal. And the way I'm going to go here, I think Brighton will certainly respond at some point. I'm going to go both teams to score at a shade of odds on. I think there'll be goals in the game and Ipswich could get at least one of them.
Well, Mark alluded to it earlier on. We do like seeing your comments, of course, on the Racing Post YouTube channel. And one of those that we received recently was from Trotter Bruno 6570, who said, "Great stuff, guys. Really respect Dan and Mark, and two of the best in the business. Great judgment. Useful for bets, obviously, but it's also for my fantasy Premier League team, knowing which teams are being overhyped and vice versa." And I think you've probably got a bit of a fantasy selection in terms of this Brighton Ipswich game, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not giving away sort of trade secrets here because he's in a lot of teams, but João Pedro is probably kind of the bargain forward that I think most people should have in their teams at the moment. He's a very good penalty taker for starters, but he started very well this season for Brighton. They're an attractive team. He looks like he's going to play every week. So, yeah, get him in and also get those comments and questions in, and we'll try to tackle at least one every week.
Indeed. João Pedro, I thought, was really impressive at Arsenal last time out. The next 3 o'clock game on the agenda is at Selhurst Park. It is Crystal Palace against Leicester. Palace around about 8-13 to pick up the points. It's 3-1 the draw, 9-2 Leicester. Dan, we'll start with you on this. How do you see this one working out?
I just think Palace are a little bit too short on the match price. I think around 8-13, as you said, Warren. I mean, that to me, I know they got the 1-1 draw at Chelsea last time out, but I think in games when they're kind of expected to win, and teams, you can see Leicester sort of going there with a deep defence. They've been competitive, Leicester, in their game so far. Got the draw against Spurs, 2-1 losses against Fulham and Aston Villa. And had that boost, didn't they, of winning their... it looks like they're not going to get that points deduction as well now, which, was a boost to them during the break. But I think Leicester are still going to certainly be relegation candidates. But Palace, for me, had that strong finish to last season where they played a lot of out of form sides. I'm not totally sold on. They've lost away to Brentford at the start of the season, lost home to West Ham, who are still sort of getting used to life under the new manager and the new players. So I think this is going to be quite a close game. The draw for me appeals at 3-1. I think Palace, the last thing I'll say, that they're missing Elise massively. He got 10 goals and 6 assists last season, and he only played in half the games.
Pass will be absolutely delighted, Mark, that the transfer window's come to an end, and especially being able to, in the end, keep Eze and Gueye as well. But is that going to be significant, do we think, this weekend?
No, I think Leicester, worst team in the league. So I'm going to, I think they'll come to defend, make it difficult for Palace. Eventually, I can see Palace finding a way through. So the way I was going for this one was Palace to win and under 3.5 goals.
So another game in the capital at 3 o'clock on Saturday, and that's at Craven Cottage, where Fulham play host to West Ham. Fulham 6-4 for the victory, 9-4 the draw, 15-8 West Ham. We mentioned, Mark, already over the last couple of weeks that West Ham are going to take time to gel with all these new signings. It's a tricky looking test on paper for them on Saturday.
Yeah, I think it's a tricky test for punters. Very difficult game to weigh up. I don't think I'll be having a bet in this game myself. But, you know, for those that do want to, I think I'd be edging towards Fulham, draw no bet. I do think the draw's a big runner here. But like you say, I think West Ham might need time. Lopetegui himself has only just arrived in the job, and he doesn't seem to be trusting the fitness of all of these sort of new signings just yet. And coupled with that, the other, I think, issue there is that from an international point of view, like, he's not had that time again, as he in the last 10 days or so, to work with them. So I'm expecting West Ham to get better as the season goes on. I've got them on my radar to maybe go in at a big price when they play Chelsea. I think it's next week. But for this game, I'd be edging towards Fulham.
Dan, what's your thoughts on this one?
I'm going to go West Ham drawing a better shade of odds against. It's going to be a while before they play their best football, but I think you're going to find that even quite early on, they're going to win games just through moments of brilliance that they've got, you know, in the offensive areas. Kudus, I think, has looked, you know, very, very bright. Looked bright for them even in the defeat against Manchester City. You've got Jared Bowen there, Paqueta, you know, capable of providing a brilliant assist. So I just think they've got a bit more than Fulham, you know, in offensive areas. And that's why I would just side with them on the draw no bet.
OK, Anfield is the destination for Liverpool against Nottingham Forest at 3 o'clock on Saturday. Liverpool, really not surprisingly, odds on at 2-9 to claim the points. Forest as big as 11-1 and the draw is 11-2. We've heard this week that Harvey Elliott is facing around about a month out after breaking his foot in training. But other than that, it's been all thumbs up and success for Liverpool so far, Mark.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't do much more than win three games, keep three clean sheets. And, Arne Slot has slotted in quite nicely, hasn't he? You could say that, you know, a couple of them fixtures, they would expect to win: Brentford at home, Ipswich away. And I would say that. But the Man United game, yeah, there was a ruthless efficiency there that was seriously lacking when they went to Old Trafford last season. I think in terms of this game, Nottingham Forest actually flying under the radar, but have played reasonably well so far, I would say. Again, from a comfortable fixture list, and this is much harder than they've played so far. But I think Nuno, I know what Nuno's going to do. He's going to make this as difficult as he can, pack the defence, and then look to hit on the counter-attack. And the way I was looking to play it was to back the first goal to come after 23 minutes. So in the market, will there be a goal in the first 23 minutes? No, is the way I'm playing this one. Slot has said himself that Liverpool are looking to be more patient in their build-up play, and it might just take a little while for them to break down Forest.
Of what you've seen of these two teams so far, Dan, been impressed by both of them?
Yeah, I have actually. Yeah, I thought at the start of the season that Forest, you know, may be, you know, one of the teams that could get sucked into the relegation area. I think having seen them, and they're still unbeaten, you know, at the moment, lost on penalties to Newcastle in the League Cup, but they do look better than I expected. I don't expect them to finish in the bottom three. And Liverpool have started great under Arne Slot. I agree with Mark about that. They are trying to play a bit more patient. However, I can see them conceding a goal here. I think that Forest on the break do have counter-attack threats, quite a bit of pace in the side, and they've got set-piece threats as well with you. You've got Milenkovic, the new centre-back, the signing. He's very, very strong in the air. Chris Wood, strong in the air, and a decent deliverer as well in Ward-Prowse, who they brought in from West Ham. So I can see Forest, you know, nicking a goal, but I think Liverpool will have too much overall. So that feeds into my tip. I'm going to go Liverpool and both teams to score at 13-8.
Liverpool second in the table, of course, at the moment, behind the defending champions, Manchester City, who also have a rare 3 o'clock Saturday kickoff this weekend. City 2-11 at home to Brentford, who are 11-1 to claim the victory there. 7-1 the draw. Brentford have been successful at the Etihad before, Mark. Is it possible they could do it again?
Well, it is possible, and they've got some of the things that you need to cause City problems, in that, you know, they won't mind defending for 90 minutes and they've got pace on the break, and City sometimes take liberties, don't they, in that area. But the way that City have started, they do look so dominant at the moment. Erling Haaland would be the obvious place to go for a first goal scorer bet, but I'm actually going for Kevin De Bruyne at a much bigger price. He had 6 shots against West Ham. He's also furious with Belgium's performance against France. He threatened to quit in the international football for straight after the game. So I think he'll be fired up. He'll enjoy playing alongside these sort of better teammates he's got at City than he has at Belgium. And yeah, De Bruyne, probably from distance, because I'm expecting Brentford to defend deep and sort of have 2 or 3 men on Haaland. That might just create space for someone else.
Probably sounds a bit daft, this, Dan, but bearing in mind they've won title after title recently. But I think most people have been surprised by just how good City have been so far.
They've been excellent. But what I would say is I don't think they enjoy playing against Brentford. I think of the most teams that play City go and sit deep and defend in a low block. But few teams kind of, you know, are committed enough to do that and prepared to suffer, if you like, than Brentford. They really, you know, they are very well organised at that. And if you don't score early, it can be a very frustrating experience. And even for City, it has been. And Brentford have won 2 of the last 6 matches between the teams. In those 6 matches, City have only scored more than 2 goals on one occasion. So they don't tend to blow Brentford away. And that's what's going to feed into my tip here. Even though City have been playing well, I think this is a game where they're not going to run up a big score. So I think Brentford will kind of keep the score down. I don't see them picking up any points, but I'm going to go Man City and under 3.5 goals at 6-4.
Two more games to look at then on Saturday at 5:30. It's Aston Villa against Everton. Villa are 2-1 on. It's 16-5 the draw, 11-2 Everton. Kind of expecting what you said about Nuno earlier in the trip to Anfield, Mark, a similar scenario from Sean Dyche at Everton, just to try and keep Villa at arm's length for as long as possible.
I don't know what Sean Dyche has been thinking about those last 10 days or whatever it is after there were 2 weeks in it. I mean, the Bournemouth game was absolutely bonkers, played so well for 86 minutes, 2-0 up and lose. I'm not sure that they're going to recover from that. I mean, I haven't got my, you know, my psychology degree, but my sort of just general vibes here is that might be a difficult one to come back from. Would also say Everton, no away win in their last 13 trips. So I'm just going to go, look, I don't want to be backing Villa necessarily at sort of 2s on in a single. So I'm going to back Villa to win and over 1.5 goals. Everton conceding a lot of goals this season. And yeah, I'm not sure how they recover from that. What do you think, Dan? I think you've got a different view of it to me on this one.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a bonkers Everton or draw double chance here. There's always the odd result now and again that raises the eyebrows. I just think this might be it this weekend. Villa, I think that the Champions League playing it is a very big deal for them with a young boys trip, you know, coming up midweek. I think, you know, Ollie Watkins, how fit is he? You know, he had to withdraw from the England squad. Bailey, who's a key player for them, he's injured as well. I just wonder whether Villa are going to be at their best here. Everton, as you mentioned, Mark, for 85 minutes against Bournemouth were very, very good. If they'd have gone and won that game 2-0, you'd be saying, we'd all be saying, you know, well done, and they're off and running. But I just think Sean Dyche has had 2 weeks to kind of work on that mental side, get them organised, and I think they'll be tough to break down here. And I've just got a feeling they might nick a result.
Okay, differing views for the 5:30 game. One more match, of course, on Saturday as well. And I'm tempted to lick my finger and stick it in the air because it involves Chelsea at the moment, and they travel to Bournemouth on Saturday evening, an 8 o'clock kickoff for this. Bournemouth 23-10, the draw around 11-4, Chelsea 21-20. Dan, we'll start with you with this one. As I say, you know, you don't know what to expect from Chelsea from one week to the other. They've shown some great signs at times, but also, of course, they've slipped up so far in the opening three games. What are you thinking here?
It's very hard this early to have a, you know, to take a strong opinion, I think, on Chelsea. Well, it's hard, you know, generally to take a strong opinion on Chelsea. But from what I've seen, teams that, you know, that come onto them and then maybe give them a bit of space, you know, like Wolves did in that game, they can be devastated when they got, you know, a bit of space to operate. You know, some of the players have got in attacking areas. So I think Bournemouth, they do like to kind of go at teams at home. I think that's going to kind of play into Chelsea's hands here. And 20 odds against Chelsea, 20-20. I just think they have got better players, certainly in those attacking areas, and I'll be on them to win this one.
Your thoughts, Mark, on this?
Yeah, I'm going to go for both teams to score and over 2.5 goals. I do think it'll be a high-scoring, entertaining game. It's a marathon of football, isn't there, on Saturday? But yeah. I do advise people to stay the pace and sort of, you know, if you're going to miss a game, don't let it be this one, because I think it got the potential to be the best of the lot. Chelsea have had 15 shots on target in their last two league games. That shows that the attack's working well, but they did concede twice to Wolves. They also conceded a couple of times to Servette as well in the Europa Conference League. I think it's just called Conference League now, isn't it? But I would expect Chelsea to win the game. I mean, if you look at what Bournemouth did against Everton. We just spoke there about kind of how well Everton played for 85 minutes. The flip side of that was that Bournemouth were outplayed at Goodison for a long period. So, you know, I would edge towards Chelsea, but I think goals is the safer play.
Just wanted to reiterate that there are two matches on Sunday, and you would probably expect the North London derby to be the 4:30 game, but it isn't. It's at 2 o'clock. The 4:30 game is at Molineux, and that is Wolves against Newcastle. The hosts are 12-5. To claim the victory. It's 5-2, the draw. Newcastle 11-10. We did say earlier in the season that, you know, Wolves could be facing some issues with losing key players, and they've certainly not been the usual selves over the first few weeks or so. Dan, how do you think they're going to fare against Eddie Howe's men?
Yeah, I think Wolves are going to be struggling this year. I would say at the moment they have played Chelsea and they played Arsenal, so they've had some you know, tough start to the season. But I've not really changed my opinion on them. That they, you know, losing Pedro Neto, losing Kilman, they look like a team to me that is going to sort of struggle in both boxes. They play often; they'll be, you know, quite good on the eye, play with intensity and play some good football. But I just worry that they're going to you know, be unlucky in a lot of their games. Newcastle are kind of the opposite. They're not playing that great at the moment, but they keep finding ways to win. The Southampton game was a case in point. The Spurs game was the same, when they were really, you know, battered for long periods, but it kind of defended well in key moments and found the winner on the counter-attack. So I think they might do something similar here. I'm going to go with Newcastle to win at a shade of odds against.
Newcastle, to me, Mark, look like a different creature at home than they are away from home. Do you see that being an issue for maybe them this season?
I do, actually. Yeah, I'm going to, not for the first time on this show, disagree with Dan. I'm going to go for a Wolves win. I thought Newcastle were really poor against Tottenham. They did manage to win the game, but didn't play to kind of how I would expect them to play, and how they, you know, when they were really at their best last season, or probably even the season before, wasn't it? And if I look to this season now, the Southampton game, sort of gritty, showed a lot of character and fight to win 1-0 with 10 men. But up until the sending off, it was quite weird because Southampton were the better side. I thought Tottenham were the better side. And Bournemouth could quite easily have won that game. You know, there was that very controversial goal that was disallowed. So I'm not sure that they've found their rhythm yet. And Wolves, Dan mentioned it, I think I'm prepared to forgive them, you know, those defeats to Arsenal and Chelsea. I think this is a kind of more palatable game for them. And I'm delighted that this game's at 4:30 rather than the North London derby, because going to the game, yeah, you're never quite sure how early to start. The 2 o'clock game is probably better than 4:31 for how many cans I can get in.
Well, plenty of thinking to do in terms of your bets for the Premier League this weekend. And the guys have been across all of the games. Up next, it's the EFL. So we'll start off with the match in focus in the EFL. And a couple of seasons ago, this would have been a Premier League clash. Elland Road is the venue for Leeds against Burnley. It's a 12:30 kickoff at Elland Road. Leeds 8-11 favourites to pick up the points here. The draw around 14-5 and Burnley 15-4. Dan, what have you made of both these two teams now the transfer window have closed, how their squads are looking at this stage?
I think right now at Leeds are certainly playing a better football. I think over the course of the season, I think it'll be close between the two of them, because I do like Burnley's squad. I think that once it settles down, brought in a lot of late deals, Medjbury from United, Jan Fleming, who gets a good goal scorer on loan from Millwall, Jaden Anthony, who was on loan at Leeds last season, Sami Enso, excellent player from Brighton. They've made some good signings right towards the end of the window, but I do think it's going to take a little bit of time for them to settle and to have this game straight away after the international break. I think they could have done with it being, with it being such a big game, being a little bit further down the line. The Leeds have started to get it together. 2-0 wins against Sheffield Wednesday and Hull, convincing victories, really. They got a few of their new players in earlier and they look like they're starting to settle. So I do think, especially with the Leeds fans, I mean, they're always behind their team. But for a big match like this, there would probably be an extra edge to the atmosphere as well. And I would take them to win the game. I think Burnley will come again later in the season and they're going to be up there, I think, as the season progresses.
Even as early as the first couple of games, Mark, there were some concerns to the Leeds fans and Daniel Farke. But, like as Dan mentioned there, they've won the last couple of games pretty comfortably and they look like they're on the right path.
Yeah, I mean, me and Dan are in agreement here. I fancy Leeds to win the game. I fancy Leeds to win the championship. I did before a ball was kicked. I think we knew that they were going to lose some of them players. There was no way they were going to be able to keep all of them, and Somerville departed. But someone like Solomon comes in, maybe sort of high-end Premier League, that was too much for him. But I think this is a player that could be playing low-end Premier League, and that makes him a very good championship player. Nonto stayed at the club, obviously would have preferred Ruta to have hung around. I think he was the one that hurt the Leeds fans, because he just brings a bit of magic to the team. But I look at Leeds and I don't see the problems that their fans do. And I think that's the difference probably between being somebody that's emotionally attached to a team compared to somebody that's not. And I just see a side that really should get promoted this campaign. It was a hot championship last year with the amount of points that Leicester and Ipswich and even Southampton got, and Leeds just fell a tiny bit short. I don't see the championship being as strong this season. Leeds were really good in those big games last season. I remember they absolutely battered Ipswich at Elland Road in one of those games. They, against Leicester, they were outplayed for large spells and sort of still managed to score and send Elland Road wild, I remember, late on in the second half. So I'm going to go for a Leeds win. I'm still unconvinced, I would say, by... Burnley, I wouldn't be as sure as Dan on them, but certainly on Leeds.
Yeah, it might be a case of those players taking a bit of time to gel, the new Burnley players. But certainly in terms of Elland Road, it could be crucial for Leeds' championship hopes this season. So just to remind you, a 12:30 start for that game in Elland Road, Leeds against Burnley on Saturday. We're going to stick with the EFL now because it's time for Dan's selections, his best three EFL bets of the weekend. Where are we looking first, Dan?
We'll stick with the championship first up. Going to go with QPR draw no bet at Sheffield Wednesday. You look at QPR last season, finished well to steer clear of relegation under Marty Cifuentes. This season, they've had a tough start, but have already got some great results. A 2-1 win away to Luton, 2-2 draw away to Sheffield United. So there's a clear sign that QPR are much improved. Sheffield Wednesday, they're struggling really at the moment. Lost 3 on the bounce, scoring none, conceding 9. Lost 3-0 away to Millwall. Dreadful performance last time out. Can't believe how they're favourites to win this game, really. So QPR draw no bet in that one. Secondly, I'm going to go into League 2 with Grimsby to win at home to Barrow at 6-4. Grimsby won both their home games, including the last one was a 2-1 win at home to Bradford, who were expected to go well. They were worthy winners of that game, Grimsby. Think they're going to have a decent season. Last weekend, lost 2-1 away to Chesterfield in a really entertaining end-to-end game against the side Chesterfield, who I expect to be right up there. Barrow, They started the season very well. They're among the early front runners, but they're nowhere near as effective away from home. Only one win away from home in this calendar year. I think Grimsby will get the result. Sticking with League Two, going to go with Swindon at home to Newport. Swindon winless at the moment, but they did get a good 1-1 draw away to Barrow last weekend. Crazy game. Barrow goalkeeper was sent off in the first half, but Swindon played well from start to finish of that game and deserved at least the draw that they got. They're an improving team. I think they're going to have too much for Newport, who lost 4-1 at home to Port Vale last weekend, had two of the defenders sent off, and those will be suspended for this weekend.
Okay, so Dan's three tips for the EFL, just to remind you this week, QPR, Grimsby and Swindon. Mark, your turn now. We're going to look at, firstly, the Bet Builder, three legs of this, and where we're looking at this week.
Well, we're going to Bournemouth v Chelsea. I've mentioned, I think this is going to be a really entertaining game. So over two goals, we need three or more goals in the game. And if I'm expecting goals, got to be expecting shots. So I'm going for the shots on target. Semenyo has been the absolute sort of shot king so far in the Premier League this season. He leads the table in Premier League shots. He's had 17 of them, the Bournemouth winger. I'm going to go for him to have a shot on target. And then Nicholas Jackson, one of the most erratic, inconsistent, but I also think quite dangerous strikers in the Premier League. I feel like it will click for him at some stage. It's just whether Chelsea have got the patience to kind of hang around and sort of wait for that to happen. But I'm going to go for Jackson to have over 1.5 shots on target. He had 5 shots against Crystal Palace. And the one stat that I really like about Nicholas Jackson's shots this season is the shot distance. So he's in the top 20 for sort of being close to the goal. His average shot distance is 9.3. So, you know, he is getting right inside the penalty box, inside the penalty spot, you know, so that hopefully will lead to him having sort of good shots on target against Bournemouth. So Nicholas Jackson over 1.5 shots on target, Semenyo to have a shot on target and over 2 goals in the game.
Yeah, surely will be goals, you would think, at the Vitality Stadium. It certainly screams out goals. Let's have a look at the prop shot now. A couple of options, Mark, from that as well.
Yeah, I've only got one this week, Warren, but it's in that North London derby. If sort of goals is screamed out, I call it Dinkle. You can call it whatever you want. It's Dinkle to me. But I think at White Hart Lane screams cards to me. I think it'll be a real feisty encounter. Kai Havertz is 3-1. To be carded. He's sort of avoided attention so far this season, but last season he had 13 bookings in all competitions. One of those did come actually against Tottenham in the first game rather than the one at White Hart Lane. But yeah, he's somebody that tends to get involved in the heat of the battle. If he plays up front, it'll be against Romero, so a real wind-up merchant. I suspect he's going to drop back into midfield, and that puts him, you know, in and among the key battles. So yeah, 3-1 for Havertz to be carded.
Yeah, fair to say it'll be a busy day for the officials on Sunday afternoon. We're going to turn our attentions now to our weekly feature of the assist treble. I'll give you my thoughts in a moment on my selection, but we'll start with Dan first. Which game are you looking at here, Dan?
I'm going to go with Man United. I think there'll be a solid selection. I think it kind of suits them to play away from home at the moment with the pressure that's on them after the Liverpool result. I think they'll get space to play on the break against the Southampton team that likes to push forward. I think Southampton, as I mentioned earlier, they already look like strong relegation candidates. So United to win this one.
I think you're sticking with the Premier League as well, aren't you, Mark?
Yeah, so we've got United. I'm going to put Aston Villa in it. I know Dan won't be delighted at that. But I just think Everton away from home, no wins now in 13. That's, you know, that's more than just unlucky as far as it goes for Sean Dyche's side. Onana, key player for them, previously in midfield, now in the opposition team. So yeah, Aston Villa to join Man United in the treble. So all on you, Warren, for the final choice.
Yeah, and I'm dropping into League One, where I'm going to suggest Reading to beat Leighton Orient at home. I was quite surprised to see that it was around about even money for Reading. 7 points from 4 games so far. The only defeat, no disgrace at that, came at Wrexham. And they beat Charlton 2-0 at home last time out as well. Orient lost 4 from 4 so far. They lost their 2 away games without scoring as well. And I think it'll be a similar situation for the O's on Saturday. So the assist treble this week then, Manchester United, Aston Villa and Reading. And to wrap up this week's show, we'll look towards the naps now for Mark and Dan. Mark, we'll start with you. What's your nap of the week?
Yeah, I was very surprised that Man United were 4-5 to beat Southampton. I agree with kind of all the negativity really around Manchester United, but even so, you know, 4-5 to win a newly promoted club, one that's not started particularly well, gives up a lot of opportunities. And you know, United are at their best when they've got space to run into, and they will get that against Southampton. So I admire Russell Martin's sort of coaching abilities, and I'd actually like to see him in charge of someone like Man United, because I think you get sort of better results than what Erik ten Hag has got. But even United, you know, should be able to land odds of 4-5 here when they take a serious step down in grade from the game against Liverpool last time out.
And finally, Dan, what's your nap of the weekend?
Going to go with Grimsby to beat Barrow in League Two. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, Grimsby got 6 points from six in their home games this season. Barrow hadn't won away all year until they sort of scraped a 1-0 win at struggling Harrogate in their last away game. So Grimsby at 6-4 looks a big price to me.
Thanks very much, guys. And thanks again for you listening on and watching on YouTube in terms of the assist. And as I say, we completely appreciate and check out all your comments as well on the show. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment. And I should remind you as well that if you like your golf, then don't miss the Sweet Spot with Steve Palmer every Tuesday on the Racing Post YouTube channel as well. We'll be back on Monday for that Champions League special. But in the meantime, enjoy your football this weekend, and please remember to gamble responsibly.